Big Finish presents Doctor Who Short Trips. The Revisionists by Andy Frankham Allen. Read by Louise Jameson. She was Leela of the Seventeen, and she was lost. The TARDIS had brought her and the Doctor to a place called an hotel, somewhere for weary travellers to rest on their journeys. The Doctor had told Leela that something was wrong in Geneva, which was why the TARDIS had been drawn there. Before stepping into the hotel, the Doctor made a small machine and connected it to his sonic screwdriver to trace the source of the energy field. But once again he refused to let Leela bring the Tesh laser gun with her. She was slightly aggrieved. As the last time he'd refused to allow her the gun, they had found themselves in a situation in which its presence would have been extremely useful. But Leela did not really mind. After all, she was a warrior of the Seventeen, and she fought better in close quarters. Leela found the hotel to be an unusual place. She had never seen a dwelling like it. There were windows to the outside, revealing that they were several levels up from the ground. It was dark outside, and the Doctor explained that the city of Geneva was settling down to sleep. Leela did not know what a city was, but she knew she did not like it. It was nothing like the land of the Seventeen. No sign of trees, no vegetation, just more dwellings made from flat rock. Standing there, she realised that she hadn't been in the fresh air since leaving her tribe, and an overwhelming desire to be outside once more welled up inside. For what seemed like days, she had been in one box after another. The TARDIS, the sand miner, and now the hotel. She missed the feeling of the ground beneath her feet, the breeze on her skin, the scent of life in the air. While exploring, Leela became curious about the doors that lined the corridors, and it was while peering into one that she lost the Doctor. One moment he was there, talking, and then the next he was gone. So distracted was he that he hadn't even noticed Leela stop. She did not worry. She could track anybody. But the hotel worked against her. So many corridors. She did come across a strange small room, one with buttons on the wall. She pressed one and the door closed. She tried to prise it open with her knife, but with little success. When the door did open again, she found herself in another corridor. She looked back at the room in awe. It was like the TARDIS, only smaller inside. The box had to be magic. No, science. There was no such thing as magic. She had to remember that. She didn't get far from the box room before she paused and a hand went to the back of her neck. It was a feeling she knew well. Someone was approaching. She pressed herself against the wall, knife held firm in her hand. And as a man turned the corner, she launched herself into his path. She raised the knife, preparing to fight. But there was something in the man's eyes, blue and green at the same time, that stopped her. He was amused, an expression the Doctor often wore on his face. She did not like it. In his hand, the man held a weapon, not unlike the Tesh laser, but much smaller. It was pointing at Leela.
"Well, good Lord," the man said.
Leela watched him closely. He had the bearing of a warrior.
"Have you escaped from the Congo?" he asked.
"No. I am Leela of the Seventeen. Who are you?" The man looked her over, sizing her up. Apparently deciding she was not a threat, he lowered his weapon. That was a mistake. Now Leela had the advantage.
"The Seventeen, eh?"
the man said. Leela shifted her knife. He would learn not to mock her tribe.
Can't say I've ever heard of them. I am Brigadier Alistair Lethbridge Stewart.
She did not know the name, but she recognised the title. The doctor had mentioned him before.
You are the Brigadier, Leela said. The doctor's friend.
Again the Brigadier mocked her with his laughter. Leela felt the urge to cripple him.
I should have known he'd be involved, the Brigadier said. And where is he now, young lady?
Lethbridge Stewart had been travelling back and forth to Geneva for several months now, leaving Colonel Cosworth to run the show in the UK in his absence. He was, after over 12 years of defending the world, undergoing the well-drawn-out process of debriefing and demobilising. After another long day of meetings, he had been resting up in the bar of the Hotel des Rois, when he started talking to another guest. Reginald Bradbury told him about his wife and her experience only last night. Reginald had walked in on his wife and her grandfather, her dead grandfather, a ghost. It had vanished moments after Reginald entered the room, and when questioned, Mrs. Bradbury didn't even remember her grandfather at all, let alone his ghost visiting her. Lethbridge Stewart had overheard many such stories since arriving at the Hotel des Rois, but he had dismissed them. Seeing the honesty in Reginald's eyes had convinced him otherwise. Lethbridge Stewart knew he shouldn't get involved, but after the endless meetings and a final assignment from the UN, he found himself getting restless, and so he went to talk to the hotel manager. He told Lethbridge Stewart that many guests had ended their stays early, gone to other hotels after word of the hauntings had begun to spread. There were still a few left, but for now the Hotel des Rois was half empty. Lethbridge Stewart had left with a promise of getting to the bottom of things. And so here he was, gone midnight, skulking through the corridors of the Hotel des Rois. He knew the real reason he'd decided to investigate. Restlessness was only a part of it. It was foolish of him, but he couldn't deny that a small part of him hoped to meet one of his own ancestors. Ever since the decision was made to move on from UNIT, he'd been out of sorts. Faced with the prospect of creating a new life for himself, he'd been forced to take a look back over his life at the mistakes he had made, the sacrifices. Vera, Mariatu, Doris, Sally, Fiona, even his daughter Kate. So many loves surrendered in favour of protecting the world. He needed to know he was doing the right thing, that he wasn't cheapening the sacrifices he'd made over the years. He stopped and shook his head. Even after all these years, to even consider that he'd be visited by a real ghost. He continued on around the corner and pulled up abruptly. A woman had jumped out in front of him, dressed in what appeared to be animal skins, although expertly sewn together. The woman stood poised, ready to attack, a knife held high in one hand. Whose ancestor was she?
Well, good Lord, Lethbridge Stewart said, unable to keep the incredulity out of his voice. Have you escaped from the Congo?
Confusion crossed the woman's face, and then insult.
No, I am Leela of the Sever Team. Who are you?
Lethbridge Stewart looked her over, considered her stance. A soldier of some sort. Yes, she did appear to be ready for a fight. Lethbridge Stewart smiled, a familiar feeling creeping up on him. He lowered his gun.
The Sever Team, eh? Can't say I've ever heard of it. I am Brigadier Alistair Lethbridge Stewart.
Although they had never met, clearly his name meant something to her. His suspicions were confirmed with Leela's next words.
You are the Brigadier,
The doctor's friend. Lethbridge Stewart laughed. Well, naturally. I should have known he'd be involved. And where is he now, young lady?
Leela frowned.
I am not lady. I am
Leela of the Sevateem. Yes, you said.
She regarded him closely.
You too are a warrior, although you do not dress like one.
Day off, Lethbridge Stewart said, although I wouldn't call myself a warrior. I am a soldier, and have been so for many long years. Now, young... Leela. Where is the doctor? No doubt he is here investigating the ghost stories, too.
Leela tensed again. This hotel is visited by the dead?
So it seems, although I've not seen any yet.
It is an honour to be visited by spirits from the great hereafter.
Lethbridge Stewart wasn't so sure he agreed.
He looked up the corridor behind Leela.
Has the doctor wandered off? He asked, unable to hide his smile at the idea.
The doctor had told Leela stories of the great warrior who defended the United Kingdom, but the man before her smiled too much. A true warrior felt the weight of war on their shoulders, but the brigadier...
As he was the doctor's friend, and Leela knew to recognise an ally when she saw one, she explained how she and the doctor had arrived at the hotel. As soon as she mentioned the doctor had vanished, the brigadier suggested they look for him.
That is what I am doing, she snapped. But this hotel is a very confusing place. Every corridor looks the same.
Again the brigadier looked amused. Nonsense, my dear. All you have to do is follow the signs.
Leela narrowed her eyes at him, feeling him mocking her. She shifted the weight of the knife in her hand. Maybe she needed to show him that she too was a great warrior. But before she could decide how best to do that, the brigadier pointed behind her and raised his weapon slightly.
Friend of yours? He asked.
I have no friends here, she told him. Only the doctor.
Are you quite sure about that? She certainly dresses like you.
She? Body tense, worried that she did not sense the presence of danger, Leela turned softly, ready to defend herself. The woman was not known to Leela, although she did wear the skins of the Sevateem. She was older than Leela, her hair lighter, her muscles firmer. She looked at Leela with hostility and then, surprising Leela, smiled. The woman reached to her left shoulder and removed something from her skins. She presented it to Leela.
I am Batima, the woman said, High Priestess of the Sevateem, servant of Zoannan.
Leela knew the name and immediately recognised the talisman in Batima's hand. Leela reached for the one attached to her own skins. It had been passed on to her by her mother, and to her by her mother, and before that, Batima was Leela's ancestor, the last and most revered priestess in their history. It was said that Batima had discovered and tamed the Hoarder, setting up the test to punish wrongdoers in their tribe. Leela dropped to her knees and lowered her head. I am Leela, daughter of Sol and Neela.
My child, Batima said,
and took Leela's hand.
Neela is my great-great-great child. We have talked much since she joined the revered warriors in the great hereafter. She speaks often of you.
Batima smiled at Leela, and she felt an unexpected warmth deep within. Leela offered up her knife. This was Neela's knife. She died using it to defend me. I now use it to honour her. Batima took the knife and weighed it in her palms.
It is a good knife.
She returned it to Leela, who replaced it in its sheath. The doctor was wrong. There was no threat in the hotel.
To be visited by the spirit of a high priestess was a great honour indeed.
Zoannan is pleased with you, Bettina told Leela.
No, Leela returned, unable to stop herself. Zoannan is not a god. He is just a machine, a computer. I have seen him.
Batima's face hardened. You speak heresy, daughter of Neela. I have served Zoannan my whole life, and continue to serve him in the great hereafter, welcoming the revered warriors.
Leela did not wish to incur the wrath of the spirits of the great hereafter, but she could not let a lie continue. No, it is you who are wrong. The doctor has taught me, and I have seen the truth of superstition.
Lethbridge Stewart watched as the two women talked. He could make out only a little of their conversation. Much of it was unintelligible. They stood several yards away, but it was as if their voices were lost on a wind. At least Leela seemed to know who Bettina was. Lethbridge Stewart stepped closer, curious to learn all he could about the visitation.
Excuse me, ladies, I hate to interrupt, but...
Leela turned to him, and in an instant, Bettina vanished.
Good Lord, where did she go?
Who? Leela looked up and down the corridor. There is no one here but us.
Well, indeed, but there was a woman called Bettina.
Leela looked at Lethbridge Stewart as if he were mad. Who is Bettina?
Your high priestess, apparently.
Still, Leela was confused. There have been no high priestesses in the Sevateem for many spans, and there was never one called Bettina.
She was just here. She was your...
Lethbridge Stewart let his comment hang in the air as realisation dawned.
Of course, just like Mrs. Bradbury's grandfather, you were visited by an ancestor and now she is gone. You do not even remember her.
What you say is nonsense. All children of the Sevateem are taught the names of the old high priestesses. I know my history, soldier of Earth, and there was no Bettina.
There was, until somebody played with your memory.
If someone has played with my mind, I would know, Leela returned, angry now.
I've seen enough to at least consider the possibility, and if memories are being stolen...
It was a troubling thought, Lethbridge Stewart considered. Could it really be that memories were being stolen, not just forgotten?
Well, I suggest we find the doctor, he said. If anybody will know what's going on, it'll be him.
They walked for some time, taking the stairs to the next floor. Leela told Lethbridge Stewart about the magic box, and it took him a moment to realise she meant the lift. He explained to her how it worked, and she looked at him as if he was stupid. Why make such a thing when you can walk? Are all the people in the land of Swiss so lazy? Lethbridge Stewart smiled at this.
Laziness does seem to be a common trait the world over.
He peered over the banister and looked down the stairwell.
But it makes more sense to use the stairs. That way we won't accidentally pass the doctor. He does seem to enjoy running up and down corridors, as I recall.
Leela looked up the well and agreed. We are near the top now, she said, then continued up the stairs. I do not understand my ancestors. They do not respect the land. They shelter themselves in places like this hotel and spend too much time making life easy. Lethbridge Stewart followed her.
Your ancestors?
Yes, the people of Earth. They emerged onto the next floor.
Where are you from?
Lethbridge Stewart asked. My world has no name, and if it does, then the doctor has never told me. He is more interested in teaching me about my ancestors.
Yes, well, our history is important, Lethbridge Stewart said. If there was one thing I was always taught as a child, it was the importance of the Lethbridge Stewart name and its history. And, he added ruefully, my obligation to follow in the military tradition.
You did not want to be a soldier?
Hard to imagine, I know. But I wanted to be a teacher. And I'm glad to say I'm close to having my cake and eating it. Service to the realm and teaching.
Why should you not eat the cake if it is yours?
Lethbridge Stewart stopped and almost laughed. It's just a figure of speech, Leela.
It simply means that I have heard many figures of speech since joining the Doctor, and they rarely mean what they say.
Lethbridge Stewart raised an eyebrow at her, uncertain if she was teasing him now.
Anyway, the point is, I never intended to become a soldier.
Leela seemed to consider this. In the Sevateem, we had no choice. Everybody had to be a warrior or die. There were many dangers to fight.
There is nothing so daunting as the need to measure up to one's history.
Aye, you're no wrong there, laddie,
came the sing-song tones of a Scottish voice behind him. Quick as a flash, Leela spun on her heels, knife at the ready. Lethbridge Stewart gently nudged her arm down.
Steady on, Leela. Ghosts can't harm us.
Lethbridge Stewart looked closer at the old man who stood there in the familiar tartan of the Clan Stewart.
Assuming he is a ghost and not in fancy dress.
The man looked down at his clothes.
I'll have you know this is...
Who are you?
Leela snapped, cutting the man off. The man stood proudly, puffing out his chest.
I am Henry John Lethbridge Stewart, royalist and proud of it.
Leela looked from him to Lethbridge Stewart, who nodded slowly.
As I thought, he said. My ancestor this time, son of William and Mary, the firstborn Lethbridge Stewart.
He was surprised at how easily Leela accepted that. She looked at Henry suspiciously.
Why are you here, Spirit? She asked.
I couldn't tell you that.
Who are you?
Henry asked, looking now at Lethbridge Stewart.
You look familiar. Not surprising. I'm your descendant.
Lethbridge Stewart considered Henry. The grey hair, the Stuart tartan, the pike he held.
Glen Cairn's rising, he muttered. You died in 1654, a year after Glen Cairn's rising.
Aye, I did, lad. Why am I here the noo?
It was as Lethbridge Stewart had hoped, although he never really believed it would happen. Advice from another Lethbridge Stewart, another man beholden to their family history. Of course, for Henry, there was no family history as such, as it all happened after he died.
To answer my questions, I hope. Do you regret it?
Lethbridge Stewart asked.
All the sacrifices you made.
What do you mean, lad?
Leaving your family behind during the Wars of the Three Kingdoms, for a start. You pledged always to be there for them. If I remember my history right, after losing your mother at a young age, and yet, like your father, your loyalty to Scotland meant you were barely there to see your children grow, to be there for your wife.
Leela was surprised by the pain in the Brigadier's voice. It was as if she was suddenly seeing his heart. And finally she understood the man the Doctor had told her about. There was something in his voice, and Leela was reminded of her father after her mother died, of the look on her parents' face when they talked of her sister, Enya, who died before Leela was born. She could see her father in the Brigadier, a warrior who carried with him the weight of loss, of sacrifice for the greater good. But she was weary of the spirit in the skirt. She watched him closely as he talked to the brigadier, who had let his guard down. She was not impressed by the warriors of Earth. They failed to remain mindful of what was happening around them, too easily distracted. As she watched Henry Lethbridge Stewart, she considered what the brigadier had told her, that she had been visited by an ancestor she could no longer remember, that someone had the power to rob her of her memories. If true, she would find those warlocks and split them in two. A voice distracted her, and she found herself turning away from Henry Lethbridge Stewart. She could not help but smile as the voice boomed down the corridor.
Leela! Brigadier!
It was the doctor. He bounded along the corridor to join them, the tail ends of his long scarf dragging along behind him. He noticed Henry Lethbridge Stewart and stopped.
Ah,
he said, the sound stretching out.
And who is this? An ancestor of yours, Brigadier? Judging by the kilt.
Doctor, good to see you again, the Brigadier said. This is...
He turned back to Henry Lethbridge Stewart, but the spirit had departed. The Brigadier frowned.
What was I saying?
You were telling the doctor about your ancestor, Leela said, surprised by the sudden disappearance.
My... The Brigadier looked confused.
He cleared his throat.
Happened to me too, did it?
Who was it? He called himself Henry John Lethbridge Stewart. The Brigadier shook his head.
Can't say I recall ever hearing about a Henry John.
You said he was the firstborn Lethbridge Stewart. Before the Brigadier could respond, the doctor clapped him on the back.
I shouldn't worry too much, Brigadier. I'm sure we'll get your memory back.
I'm glad you're so certain, the Brigadier said sarcastically.
Well, of course. After all we've been through, Yeti, Cybermen, Hilda Winters, the Zygons.
The doctor beamed.
At this rate, we'll soon be old friends.
I thought we already were.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective, I suppose.
Indeed, the Brigadier said. Perspective and memory. You made some curious omissions there, Doctor. You've skipped several years.
The Doctor's smile vanished quickly, and his eyes widened. He looked at the Brigadier curiously.
Years? From your point of view, perhaps, Brigadier. But from mine...
Now it was the Brigadier's turn to frown.
Doctor, you don't remember the many years you worked for UNIT as my scientific advisor?
Nonsense, Brigadier. I never worked for UNIT. Why would I do that?
Leela watched the two men. They were being very stupid. Was she the only one seeing what was going on there? Too much education, she decided, and smiled. They failed to see the simple truths, too busy looking for complications.
You were visited too, she told the doctor.
Was I?
The doctor pursed his lips and shrugged.
I don't remember that.
None of us does, Leela said. Like the Brigadier said, someone has stolen our memories. She lifted her knife. Let us find this memory stealer so I can tear his heart out.
Steady on, the Brigadier said. We don't know who it is yet.
The doctor reached into the deep pockets of his coat and removed the strange machine he had cobbled together before leaving the TARDIS.
I have located the source of the energy field, Leela. I told you it wouldn't be too hard to pinpoint. I was following it when I lost you.
You lost me?
Exactly. When are you going to learn, Leela? You mustn't walk off like that.
Leela was about to argue, but the doctor's smile stopped her. He was teasing her. The Brigadier chuckled. Obviously, he expected such behaviour from the doctor. Leela wasn't sure she'd ever get used to the doctor's habit of not taking things seriously.
The field is expanding,
the doctor explained, looking down at the device. It rings a vague bell. I've seen readings like this before, but I cannot recall from where.
Perhaps during your time with UNIT, the Brigadier asked.
Yes, perhaps, if you say so. Anyway, if we're not quick, this field will soon move beyond this hotel. I was quite happy to investigate on my own, but now that I've found you both, perhaps you would like to accompany me?
Leela smiled, glad that they were finally going to move again. Do not worry, Doctor. I will protect you, and so will the Brigadier. Once on the top floor of the hotel, the doctor led them to a small ladder. A quick discussion ensued between the Brigadier and Leela about who ought to go first. They both agreed that whoever was behind the missing memories could be dangerous. The doctor wasn't bothered either way, but his two companions refused to let him go first. Leela made the point that the doctor was not a violent man, to which the Brigadier laughed.
Oh, I don't know. He was a dab hand at Venusian Aikido.
I am.
The doctor was clearly surprised at this.
The clan Porrigini tried to teach it to me two incarnations back, but my body was far too old at the time. Venusians have five arms and three legs, so you see the problem.
He waved his two arms to illustrate his point.
But my last incarnation, well... I managed quite well then.
More than managed, Doctor. You mastered it, so you would tell anybody who listened.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, Brigadier, but I'm not sure a move or two is mastering.
While they discussed the Doctor's previous self, whatever that meant, Leela decided to take the lead. It was only when she had opened the hatch at the top of the ladder that the doctor and Brigadier noticed she had left them. The Brigadier smiled.
You know, Doctor, she's quite growing on me. Could do with a woman like her in UNIT. Did you hear that, Leela?
The doctor called up.
He thinks you would make a good soldier.
Leela was happy the Brigadier appreciated her skill, but she ignored the doctor's compliment and climbed through the open hatch and onto the roof.
We had better follow her before she ends up killing someone with a Janus thorn, the doctor said.
Lethbridge Stewart watched Leela disappear.
Is that likely?
The doctor didn't respond. He simply stuffed his hat into one of his voluminous pockets and began climbing the ladder. Lethbridge Stewart immediately followed, his vision impaired by the doctor's free-flowing scarf.
Never had this trouble with the previous doctor, he grumbled, suddenly missing the old dandy in his frilly shirts.
Lethbridge Stewart emerged onto the roof behind the doctor, only to find Leela engaged in an altercation with... Well, Lethbridge Stewart wasn't quite sure what to call the little creatures who were piling onto her. They were about knee-high, piggish things. Leela seemed to be holding her own against them, but she had lost her knife. Lethbridge Stewart made to move forward, but the doctor held him back.
No, Brigadier, they're not trying to hurt her, just subdue her.
He smiled broadly.
They won't succeed.
The doctor was right. Within moments, Leela had disentangled herself and rose to her feet. She held her hands out before her, legs parted, a defensive stance.
Doctor, these are the memory thieves.
That's good deductive reasoning, Leela.
The doctor glanced at Lethbridge Stewart.
You see, Brigadier, even a savage can be taught to use her brain.
In response, Lethbridge Stewart simply raised an eyebrow. If nothing else, the doctor was always the doctor. Lethbridge Stewart watched him step forward, hands held out, palms up to show he meant no harm.
You are the Molai, aren't you? I've read about your race.
You're supposed to be peaceful.
The little creatures looked among themselves, evidently picking a spokesperson. The chosen Malai stepped up to the doctor.
We are peaceful, but this human attacked us.
Well, the doctor said, you have stolen the memory of her ancestor. She's bound to be a little testy.
We have not stolen. We have borrowed.
Lethbridge Stewart raised an eyebrow.
Borrowed, eh? Do you intend on returning our memories?
The Malai spokesperson looked back at his fellows.
We cannot. We need them.
While they were talking, Leela had picked up her knife. She moved closer to the spokesperson, knife directed at him. You will return my ancestor, or I will gut all of you.
Now, Leela, there is no need to get hysterical, the doctor said.
I am not hysterical. I am angry, as you should be, doctor. They stole years from you.
Yes, yes, they did. But why? What does that matter? Lethbridge Stewart asked.
They can't just go around stealing the memories of people.
Quiet, both of you,
the doctor barked. Stunned into silence, Lethbridge Stewart and Leela could only watch as the doctor turned back to the Molai spokesperson.
He is correct, though. You can't just go around stealing memories. We are, after all, the sum of our memories. We won't be complete without them.
The Molai turned and muttered among themselves. Eventually, a decision was made, and the spokesperson explained the tragedy that had struck the Molai. A hidden war was spreading across the galaxy, caring little for the lesser races, such as the Molai. Their entire history had been wiped out. Lethbridge Stewart wondered at the thought that anybody had that kind of power and posed that kind of threat. The Molai before them were off-world when it happened, so it did not affect them. But when they returned, the Molai had something of a group mind, and they were thus able to force their entire world into sleep. And while their world slept, the Molai travelled the galaxy to find a new history for their people, a revised history that could be fed into the race memory of their world. And when the rest of the Molai awoke, they would be none the wiser.
You cannot have my memories, Leela snapped, once the Molai had finished their story.
I'm afraid I quite agree, Lethbridge Stewart said. My heritage is important. I have sacrificed much in the name of my family, and I will not have that diminished by you.
The doctor also agreed.
But, he said, there may be a solution. If you are able to take out memories, then you must be able to simply copy them.
That was beyond their ability, but the doctor was not beaten. They stepped aside to talk further, while Lethbridge Stewart and Leela were left to twiddle their thumbs, watching the rest of the Molai suspiciously. It was agreed the doctor would show them some techniques from his own people on how to copy and transfer memories.
They will return all the memories they have stolen, the doctor explained once the decision had been made. In return, I will allow the Molai to copy every memory I have, more than enough for their race to have a new history, and quite an exciting one too.
While the doctor was away, working with the Molai, Leela sat with the Brigadier in the hotel bar. She had never heard of alcohol, but upon trying it, she decided she did not like it. So the Brigadier provided her with orange juice. It was much like the Ula juice of her world. Leela remembered Batima again, just as the Brigadier remembered his own ancestor. Leela did not think it a good idea to have a world who believed the doctor's history was its own, but But better that than allow them to continue stealing people's histories, she supposed. As they sat and talked, the Brigadier told Leela about his family, about the warriors who bore the Lethbridge Stuart name. She listened and thought of her own family. They were all dead now, but they lived on in her.
I wondered if the sacrifices I have made would be diminished by leaving military service. But now I see that they would be diminished by forgetting where I came from. We are the result of our past, Leela. And we must never forget that.
And keep telling our ancestors' stories, Leela agreed. The Brigadier nodded.
Quite so. People like me, your father and mother, we give up a lot to fight for what is right, to keep the memory and honour of our past alive. As long as the stories are told, our ancestors continue to live.
It was true. Who convinced you to become a warrior? Leela asked him.
The Brigadier smiled. Many tried. My father, my grandfather. But the more they tried, the less I wanted to follow in their footsteps. I wanted to be my own man. But then the Korean War happened, and I was called up for national service.
What is national service? Leela recognised the look that passed across the Brigadier's face. Pride and sadness. She sipped the orange juice and listened as he told her the story of how he became a soldier. Once more she thought of her mother, and Leela realised that it was the stories her mother told of her ancestors that made Leela into the warrior she was. The Brigadier was right. As long as the stories were told, their ancestors continued to live.